I say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me Gabriel Gardner, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hessler, Ontario. You are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 125. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, if you're buying, I don't know what you would buy this week, but you're buying something else, you're renting a Christmas movie, pop over, look up Ramble on Radio, pop over, leave a review, leave a couple of stars, one, five, doesn't matter to me, and give a review, and it just helps other people, it helps placement on their on their computer codes, and it helps other people find us. You can check us out on Podbean at I Am Brian Damage. You can listen on Spreaker. And if you go to Spreaker, be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Although I kind of don't really, it updates, but I only keep about four shows at a time going right now. They're only because of the restrictions they have, and I don't want to spend the money. Also, check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. Yes, it's the 125th episode, one and a quarter, or as we call it in Canada, the exchange rate. And you heard on the intro, you heard Robert Plant at the Vic Theater in Chicago, October 13th, as part of the Lampedusa tour. Emmy Lou Harris was doing the background vocals there. I couldn't tell in the video who was playing guitar. Might have been Buddy Miller, might have been Steve Earle, might have been somebody else. But we'll get into that. The Lampedusa tour, we will get into that in a few minutes. My point, I have to apologize. It's been a long time since I've done this. So long that the Lampedusa tour was in October, and I never talked about it. I shouldn't say that. I talked about it before it happened in the last podcast. So we're going back a solid month and a month and a half since I've done one. And I apologize for that. Life just got busy. And we're settling in now. I have been talking to Jeff Strawman about having him on. And probably not next week, the week after, we'll arrange something. And talk about his book. Hopefully it'll be in people's houses and their hands by then. Anyway, I'll get there. I'll tell you what, I'm getting ahead of myself. I wanted to do this. I want to make a little kind of an announcement. I had a conversation with one of our listeners about having a friend of his come on who was in a, just had formed a new Led Zeppelin tribute band. And because I'm friends with the guys that get the lead out, and I've talked about having them on before, or one or two of those guys on, and our friend, Steve Sauer, friend of the show, who's been on the show a few times, who ran Led Zeppelin News for a long time, and is today, by the way, posted on Facebook a picture of himself with Carol Miller. He's at the studio. He does work for Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out. A lot of getting the lead out all of a sudden here. And so he's just formed, at the same time as this email came in, he just formed his own Led Zeppelin tribute band. So I didn't. And then I wasn't really, didn't look like I was going to get a podcast out that week anyway, but I'm happy to help out on these things. So I want to say, if you have a Led Zeppelin tribute band, if you know a Led Zeppelin tribute band, I don't care where it is, by the way, let me know. Send me, if you want to do an audio promo, I'll play your audio promo. I'll play one a week. If I get 10, then it gets in line. I doubt that'll happen. If I'm doing one a week, I'll be shocked. But I will do an audio promo for your Led Zeppelin tribute band for upcoming shows. I'll tell you what I'll do, because I doubt it'll take off and be busy, really busy. If you've got just a regular audio promo, I'll play it and maybe do it once in a while. But if you have a specific one relating to a specific show, on each podcast, it'll be first come, first serve. I'll do one. But I'll also do, send me your gigs and send me your shows, and I will announce the shows as I can. And let's see if we can get people out to see some bands. And if you're in the Southern Ontario, Toronto area, I'm in Cambridge here. If you're coming around my way, let me know. And I might come out and see you if opportunity allows. And again, for sure, let me know when the gigs are, and I will announce them here. So I just wanted to say that. If you have a band, if you have a friend in a band, if you have a favorite band, I do not have time to go searching out this stuff. So send it to me, and I will make sure that I get the gigs announced. And again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be here in Toronto, or you don't have to be in the States. If you're in Britain, anywhere in Europe, in Japan, I don't care. People listen to this from all over the world. Principally, I think the US, but US and UK. But you never know when there's a fan out there listening, or somebody's going to be where you're going to be. So just send it, and I will do that. All right, let's get into the in-history aspect of it. So we're going back a little bit. November 8th, in 1971, Led Zeppelin 4 was released. So that's 45th anniversary. And I was planning on doing a podcast around the 45th anniversary of Led Zeppelin 4. But that, again, that just didn't happen. I was actually on holidays at that time. And and the week before, I kind of thought I might get it out. But the week was a short one because we left on the Friday. And you're busy the week before holidays, tidying everything up and sorting things out and packing. It just didn't happen. Okay, so and the same day in 1994, Page and Plant appear on Later with Jules Holland. And this is going to be a little theme here for a minute. And then on the 10th, 2 days later, Page and Plant appear on Japanese TV. And this is the one where they played the acoustic version of Stairway to Heaven, shortened, but acoustic version of Stairway to Heaven. Only time they played Stairway to Heaven, as far as I know, is Page and Plant. And if you've never seen it, look it up on YouTube. If I remember, I'll throw it on the webpage. But that was November 10, 1994. And then staying with the theme, on the 17th in 1994, Page and Plant appeared on the Andrew Denton Show in Australia. So that's Britain, you know, within 8-9 days, Britain, Japan, Australia. Busy people. Obviously, they were promoting Unleaded at the time. Exciting! It was an exciting time to be a Led Zeppelin fan, because it was like Led Zeppelin was back ever so briefly. And I should actually, on the subject of Page and Plant, I was at, on holidays, we drove from New Orleans to Memphis and took Highway 61. So we stopped at the crossroads. We stopped at Clarksville. The one they walked into. And the monkeys took the last train to. Stopped at the crossroads and had unbelievable tamales. I've never had tamales before. They were so tasty at this little diner. It does outdoor barbecue right at the crossroads. So that was kind of a cool thing. But yeah, so I made it to the crossroads. I made it to Clarksdale. And we drove in, didn't walk in. Okay, so on the 11th of November, 1997, BBC sessions were released. And of course, they were just re-released about a month and a half ago with a little extra material. On the 12th of November, 1984, The Honey Drippers Volume 1 was released. You can tell you're getting into the Christmas season. Everything's getting released, right? Sadly, on the 12th of November in 2003, drummer Tony Thompson, who played with Led Zeppelin at Live Aid, he was the other drummer beside Phil Collins, the drummer they rehearsed with, died of cancer. On the 13th of November, 1949, Terry Reid was born. Terry Reid almost was the singer for Jimmy Page's new band back in 1969. On the 13th of November, 2008, Plant and Crouch win Musical Event of the Year for Gone, Gone, Gone at the CMA Awards. And I think if I look at my list quickly, he's singing Gone, Gone, Gone. He was singing Gone, Gone, Gone on the, yeah, at the Lampedusa tour. But again, we'll get there. On the 19th of November, 1969, drummer Michael Lee was born. He was Robert Plant's drummer through much of the late 80s and into the 90s, and then joined Page and Plant. He was the drummer for that. And I was watching a Page and Plant live concert just last week, the week before. He was good. He was actually quite good. On the 19th, 1982, Coda was released. So now we're going back about 5 days ago. Coda was released. On the 21st of November, 1988, Page began his first solo tour, UK solo tour. Same day in 1995, Peter Grant passed away. And the 24th of November, which is tomorrow, 2008, drummer Michael Lee, same drummer who was with Page and Plant, died from an epileptic seizure. And by my math, that was age 39 and 7 days. 69 to 2008, so you have 39. And then 19 is 24. No, not even 7 days. 19th to 24, so there you go. 5 days. 39 and 5 days. Okay, so we're going to do old-style podcasts here. For those who've been with me a long time, I used to, instead of having a topic that I worked on and kind of did weekly over the course of, you know, I'd end up doing a podcast. I was Damon for 2 weeks. I often did 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks in between. And what I would do is what everybody was up to over the course of that time frame, what Jimmy Page had done, what John Paul Jones had done, that sort of thing. And as it's been about 6-7 weeks since I did one, and stuff has been happening, I thought I would cover that ground. I would go over that ground. So this is an old school style podcast. And we'll get back on topic next week, hopefully. You know, and certainly within the next 2 weeks. I've got a couple of things to talk about next week or the week after. So we're getting to that time of year. It's getting close to Christmas. So it's books and records and stuff that's being released. And I have been reading, and this is the Jimmy Page book. And I got a... I'm going to look this up real quick. Sorry, I'm not always... I did have it pulled up, but then I didn't. It's called No Quarter, The Three Lives of Jimmy Page. I'm going to try and get to the very first. Let's see if I can get to that. There we go. No Quarter, Three Lives of Jimmy Page by Martin Power. I'm reading away right now. It's an in-detailed book. It's an in-depth book. It's a fairly large book. Now, I'm reading it on my iPad. I'm reading an e-version. And as happens with these, you don't realize how big a book it is. It's one of those things that happens. But a week later, they're finally formed Led Zeppelin. So he's covering his career in a lot of detail. Not a lot of time pissing around with 10-year-old Jimmy Page played cricket. I joke about the Keith Richards book and the Grandpa Gus stories, but there's not a lot of time spent on Grandpa Gus stories to Jimmy Page, unless it directly relates to his musical education. But he does spend a lot of detail on the 60s, on his career, playing a lot of detail on playing with Neil Christian and the Crusaders, for instance, a lot of detail on his session days. And he goes into, there's a number of controversies, you know, around his session days. Did he or didn't he play on this song? Didn't he do this part on that song? And he goes into a lot of detail why those controversies may occur. Both sides of the argument. And kind of comes to the conclusion in a lot of cases that we'll never really know because they didn't keep accurate notes. And because... you know, bands will say, no, that wasn't Jimmy Page, that was me. But what they don't know is, after a session, Jimmy Page is often called in to lay down the track. Okay, here's the track, now you do it better. That sort of thing. So, but there's a lot of detail in there. And and working right up, like I say, he's just, you know, Led Zeppelin's just off the ground. I think Led Zeppelin 2 is the chapter I'm on right now. But it's a big book, is what it boils down to. I've been reading. And somebody mentioned on Facebook that it's like a brick. It's a big, thick thing. You know, it's, you know, you get an 800 book or 600 page book in your hands, you know it's a big book. But when it's an iPad, you don't realize it. But this is an excellent book. Like I said, just detail and really well written. It's written almost in, he tells the story, and it's a, you know, every book is a story, and he tells the story interestingly. He pulls in all sorts of sources without making it sound like he's writing an essay, he's making it sound like he's pulling in sources from all over the place, and mixes in quotes with prose quite effortlessly, and it's really well written. And so far, it's really good and not at all gossipy, which longtime listeners know is something that, let's just say, I think that stuff's been done. Not that I don't like it, but unless you have something new, there's not a lot to tell. You know, so yeah. So that's No Quarter, Three Lives of Jimmy Page. And if you're thinking, if your wife's bugging you, your husband's bugging you, your partner's bugging you, what's on your Christmas list? You need something for Christmas. Your mom wants to know what to get you for Christmas. No Quarter, The Three Lives of Jimmy Page would be an excellent, excellent choice for the Led Zeppelin fan. And there's a second book out there. I mentioned it briefly earlier. Jeff Strawman's Led Zeppelin Gear. More of a technical book. You know, goes through all the guitars he uses and stuff. And we're going to get Jeff on in the next couple of weeks to explain it. I think I have a copy already. The problem is, this was you know, we raised the funds to write the book, and if you give this much, then you get a copy of the book. If you give this much, you get the copy of the book, plus a copy of the book, plus a this, that, and plus a poster. And I'm almost positive I gave enough and said, yes, I want a copy of the book. Almost positive. But I've been almost positive I've done that before and then not received the book. And you think, man, well, maybe, because sometimes you go, okay, well, I'll do this next week. I don't have the money right now. I don't have the money on my credit card, or I don't want to use the credit card. I want to use the bank account. So I'll wait till next week, and then you forget. That happens. It happened with Scarlet Page's book. I thought I had put money, enough money in to get a book. And then seemed to have not done so. So that's, you know, so I think I have a Jeff Strawman book coming. And if not, I will, in due time, order one from Amazon and put it on my Christmas list, or get an iBook version. But we'll try to have Jeff on next, and he can explain the book thoroughly to you. And if I haven't got the book by then I'll just let him, I'll just kind of toss him softballs and let him run. And if I have the book, then I'll toss him softballs and chat with him about it. All right, so Jason Bonham. Jason's Led Zeppelin Experience tour. He's back with the Led Zeppelin Experience. His tour begins Friday, this Friday, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You know, I've had a thought about it in advance. Bethlehem's not that far from here, and I like the area. My pal, that's where Steve Sauer's from, so I could hook up with him, and we could have had some fun. I should have thought of that, but I didn't. I was writing this out today and thought, Bethlehem, I could have gone to the Martin Guitar Factory, get another coaster. All right, so Jason Bonham, it begins Friday, Bethlehem, it continues through, and I don't have the dates for you. But here's the itinerary. If it's near you and you're interested, look it up from there. Continues through Atlantic City, Boston, Portland, Maine, Silver Springs, Detroit, Maryville, Indiana, Northfield, Ohio, Evansville, Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, Sioux Falls, Kansas City, Tulsa, Council Bluffs, Iowa, Osceola, Iowa, and Madison, Wisconsin. It finishes in Madison on December 17th. So what's Friday is 25th. It starts on the 25th, ends on the 17th. And that looks like about 11 dates or something. So that's the Jason Bonham tour. And if you're going to any of the shows, I think Bethlehem, in a way, is probably the closest one to me. Well, maybe Detroit. Detroit's about 3-4 hours. Yeah, 3 hours. Bethlehem would be about 6. But that's it. That's the only ones that are even close to me. So, yeah, I don't think I'll make it, to be honest. But if you do, let me know how it was. Let me know what they played. If they played anything I hadn't played before, they usually try to mix some songs around. You know, is the band the same? Is everybody the same? I haven't talked to James in a while. The singer, James Dillon, has been on the show and is a friend of the show. I haven't talked to him in a while, so I'm not sure what's going on over there with the boys as much as I used to. All right, Mr. Jones, John Paul, he emerged. He played a show with a country singer by the name of Sarah Watkins, country singer fiddler, name of Sarah Watkins. And there are some YouTube, if you Google John Paul Jones, Sarah Watkins, they come up. There are some videos. He's playing mandolin. He's playing. It looks like a guitar-sized mandolin. It's a mandolin. It looks like a mandolin. It's guitar-sized. It kind of sounds like a mandolin, though. I have no idea what it is. I'm kind of up on instruments and stuff, but Jonesy pulls out stuff that I've never seen before. And I've never seen this. I don't know if it's just a guitar. It looks like a mandolin. It's possible it's just an archtop guitar. But I couldn't tell in the video how many strings it had. Maybe it's like a baritone mandolin or something. Hard to tell, but kind of had a mandolin tone sound to it. So I don't know what it was, but he played that as well as the mandolin. Sarah Watkins played her fiddle, plus she played some guitar on one song I saw. She's got a nice voice, pretty voice on her. She's got a nice voice. Plays kind of pure country by the sounds of it, bluegrassy country, you know. And if it's your thing, then you missed something. And that was on November 10th, and I'm not sure where it was, though. I didn't mean to look it up, but that was November 10th. John Paul Jones seems to have been a single gig with Sarah Watkins. Robert Plant was touring, I mentioned earlier. You heard a clip of the Lampedusa tour. The Lampedusa tour is, and I think we talked about it briefly, the last one, but it was a tour put together to create awareness / I don't know, fundraise. I'm not sure what exactly the point of the tour was. I'm assuming it's more awareness than anything. But whether funds went to a charity or not, but it's for refugees. It's in support of refugees. And Lampedusa is an Italian island where North African and Middle Eastern refugees will land. That's their landing point in Europe often. And currently people are escaping Libya. We won't roll the ironies out here, but people escaping Libya are, and quite a few are dying trying to escape Libya to get to Lampedusa. And it's the point at which they're all heading into Europe. And you hear about the European refugee crisis and whatnot. It's kind of a key point. So that's the tour is in support of the refugees. And, or was in support of the refugees. I don't believe it's still going. And Robert Plant joined the tour. This is the terminology. I don't know how many dates the tour actually did. I don't know. It sounds like the sort of thing. Some people joined up, some people didn't. I think Emmylou Harris was running the tour. And he played with Emmylou Harris, Buddy Miller, Steve Earle, Joan Baez, he did 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 dates. October 12th in Milwaukee, October 13th in Chicago, October 14th here in Toronto, October 16th in Boston, October 18th in New York City, October 19th in Philadelphia, October 21st in Washington. I had no idea. The day after the Massey Hall show, I saw a clip I saw something on Facebook about it, or I saw something on the news about it, and thought, holy jeez, I had no idea Robert Plant was going to be in Toronto. Not sure. I'm trying to remember. I think I was working then anyway. I don't think I would have made it, but it would have been nice to know, that, you know. But that was what he did. Now, he played, they would all sit, they all took turns doing songs. They would sit in a circle, so it wasn't Robert Plant comes on stage, does a song or two, leaves stage. It was he sits on stage and does background vocals and plays tambourine or harmonica or whatever while somebody else is singing. And they would help him. They would, so like I said, Steve Earle, I presume, was playing guitar on the Robert Plant songs. Emmylou Harris, you heard the In My Time of Dying, Emmylou Harris was providing the backup vocals at the beginning, the harmony vocals. I should say harmony, not backup. She was harmonizing with him. Here in Toronto, there's not a lot of set lists out there, but here in Toronto, he did Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, In My Time of Dying, / In My Time of Dying. Gone, 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 Done Moved On from the Alison Krauss. And we talked a minute ago about something about that, right? They won Musical Event of the Year at the CMA Awards in November 2008 for that particular song. Don't, an Elvis Presley cover. Little Maggie, that's the songs he performed. As well, they did Going to California as a group. I don't know if they did that at Toronto. I don't know if they did it at every show, but I know they did it at least once. That's what Robert, now, there's a festival in Britain coming up. He's been posting on his Facebook page and stuff about this festival in Britain he's going to be playing. Forget what it's called, but that's coming up. So he's got more shows coming up, and there was report that he was also recording another album with the Sensational Space Shifters. Sensational Space. I wish he'd pick different band names. Confuses me every time. Since you know the guys I mean, right? The SSS. So anyway, this is a worth note. This is maybe noteworthy. This comes. The Britain's Guardian newspaper reviewed the New York show, and it said, this is a quote from the article, in a snarky aside about his old band, Plant said he would not be performing Hobbit songs. So there you go, a snarky aside about his old band, and that crap about Hobbit songs. So, yeah, maybe it's a good thing I didn't go. He doesn't want me there, apparently, right? I wish he wouldn't do that stuff. That does, you know. Now, Jimmy, it's been a rough couple of weeks for Jimmy Page. Here's the thing. When Robert Plant goes off the reservation and says something like, not performing Hobbit songs, us Led Zeppelin fans are very happy to criticize him. And don't get me wrong, not everybody. Believe me, I know not everybody, because I do it, and I get messages from people saying, you know, that wasn't maybe fair. But it is a really kind of weird thing to me. You can't criticize Jimmy in the Led Zeppelin world. You can't criticize Robert, and that's a bit weird sometimes. Primarily when it comes to, the Led Zeppelin community, and I'm doing air quotes around community because it's, I don't know. I'm old enough to know to come from a time when a community was the people you live near, not what you listen to or who you screw or whatever. I'm air quoting around community. I do Through Badge Holders Only, and people will criticize Jimmy about saying he's going to be touring again, playing and touring again, actually going, yeah. And there is a specific person who will beat you down for it fairly consistently. But it's just the one thing people criticize Jimmy for is that, is the, when this story came up 2 weeks ago, everybody beat the person who told the story, not the Jimmy. And there's two stories here, and the second one has gone completely unmentioned, as far as I can tell, in the in For Badge Holders Only, because people just don't go after Jimmy. If this was Robert, they would be going after him. There's two Jimmy stories, and not one of them is good. And put together, actually, I think they're a bit worrisome. When you start hearing stuff like this from a 72-year-old man, or is he 72? 70 anyway, he's plus 70. That's, you know, if you're his family, this is maybe something to start worrying about. Although maybe not, maybe he's just, who knows. But, so the first story involves his neighbor, Robbie Williams. Robbie Williams has been trying to do renovations in his home. Jimmy Page has been trying to block him every step of the way. Doesn't want him doing these renovations. According to Robbie Williams, they're fairly standard renovations. According to the person, the wife of Michael, I can't remember his name, the guy who directed Death Wish 2, who was friends with Page, who lived there before, until his death. And then, upon his death, he sold it to Robbie Williams. His wife says these renovations need to happen. The house needs renovating. Jimmy Page, who spent his life living the motto, "Do what thou wilt," should be the whole of the law, wants nothing to do with letting his neighbor do what thou wilt to his house. And now, Page says, has said through the years that the house is being very old, of delicate foundations, and the work he's doing runs a risk to the foundation of his house. If this is true, then Page has a case. Page has a claim. But outside of Jimmy Page, I've not heard anybody suggest, and the council, the local council and whatnot, has given all the permits, all the approvals have done, presumably that sort of thing has been looked into. Especially as a wealthy, it's not like a wealthy neighbor saying screw you to the average person neighbor. You know, I'm doing this work anyway, and I'll just bully council with all my money and all my fame and power. It's two guys with lots of money, lots of fame, lots of power. And so, according to Robbie Williams, Jimmy Page, like, the workers show up, and Jimmy Page has been sleeping in the backyard. Now, and I don't think regular, that's probably a one-off if it's happened. Probably not regular. But he's like, he sits out front in his car and watches them, and he's in the backyard at night, and he's basically spying on them, looking for them doing anything wrong so he can report them. Which is odd behavior, especially when you add in found him sleeping there. This is odd behavior. And that's where I think where you say, you know, maybe at his age, that's something to worry about. Maybe these are signs of something else. Or maybe it's a crock of poop. Well, I'm not on the radio, it's a podcast. I could say crock of shit. But maybe it's a big crock. Maybe none of this is true. But this is Robbie Williams' claim. The interesting thing is, you know, on For Badge Holders Only, and probably on a lot of the other Led Zeppelin sites, people have this attitude like, dude, Jimmy Page is your next door neighbor. Just be happy. Man, nothing worse than a neighbor who won't leave you alone, who won't let you do what you need to do, who won't let you paint your house or something, you know? There's nothing worse than that kind of neighbor. So no, it's not just be happy he's your neighbor. A lot of people too go, who's this Robbie Williams guy? He sounds like just a, he's a nobody I've never heard of. Actually, he's a very, very famous singer. If you're saying that, if that's your attitude, it's because you don't live in Britain. Now, I'm not a fan of Robbie Williams. He's more a modern pop singer, and he was in a boy band back in the 90s, is where he got his start. So I'm not claiming he's a brilliant artist, but, you know, if you're out there saying, well, I've never heard of this guy, and so he must be a nobody, he's actually a fairly big somebody in Britain. But everybody's attitude seems to be, well, Jimmy's just right. Don't criticize Jimmy. Even if, you know, you should get along with him. He's Jimmy Page. Well, you know, Jimmy Page doesn't sound like he's getting along. So, but it's a claim. At this stage, it's a claim. And but if you're a Jimmy fan, watch for stuff like this. Because it'll happen more and more if there is something wrong. If it's just a one-off thing, it's a one-off thing. And these will happen. But things happen to people who get older. And through no fault of their own, you know. And, you know, I've been through this sort of thing personally. Let's put it that way. And it just struck a bell with me when I heard that. Oh. Not that somebody I know slept in their neighbor's backyard or something, but it's just, you know, there's little signs of bad news there. Second one is equally concerning in the same way, I think, and is not getting a lot of play. Matter of fact, it's not being mentioned I noticed on for badge holders. Nobody's mentioned it. Except for, actually, so they did the Classic Rock Awards in Japan, and they were... promoted as featuring Jimmy Page. I think that was the terminology. But they did promote them as Jimmy Page will be on stage. So somebody at the, then he didn't perform. So there was rumors he was going to perform, and he didn't perform. And somebody the day after that, oh yeah, he made a presentation, didn't perform. Somebody said, basically, well, if I went there thinking he was going to perform, I might be a little upset. And the person I mentioned who always defended Jimmy Page said, well, I read the press release closely. It didn't specify he would play. I've learned to watch for this sort of thing, you know. And just, well, okay. So here's the thing. But 2 hours later, the promoters of the Classic Rock Awards in Japan issued an apology to fans that Jimmy Page didn't play, specifying that Jimmy Page was contracted to play, specifying that a guitar and amplifier had been provided for Jimmy Page's performance, and upon showing up, he announced, I won't be playing. That was put on Twitter, I think, that little portion. And then a couple hours later, it was withdrawn. And there's been some clarification through the time, but it appears Jimmy Page was supposed to play, had a contract to play, and they are now offering refunds to fans who bought tickets to the show, assuming Jimmy Page was going to play. They are now offering that. So, again, this is just one of those, you know, little, you don't say you're going to play, you don't sign a contract saying you're going to play, and Jimmy Page has always been a professional. A solid professional when it comes out. So he's got a contract to play, he's playing it. So it's kind of a little bit of a, what happened here? What's going on with Jimmy Page? That that he suddenly shows up and says, I'm not playing. Or, you know. And by the way, if you're expecting a tour next year, remember this. He had a contract to play, he was supposed to play, a guitar was there, and he showed up and decided he wasn't going to play. Maybe hints that he's not up to the kind of snuff you want him to be for a tour. But it's worrisome. Two things combined, especially, I think, are a bit worrisome if you're a Page fan. And and to themselves, not much, just small stories. But pay attention to them. Pay attention to this sort of thing going forward. Just in case. A gut feeling tells me this, we've not heard the last of these sort of stories. And finally, Led Zeppelin 4 turned 45 on November 8th. I was going to do a show on this, but I ran out of, it didn't get done. So I'll talk really briefly about just the almost rock and roll perfection that is Led Zeppelin 4. It's got everything. It's got everything. And I've talked before about side one, you know, they thought in terms of whole records, they thought, what fits, what doesn't fit? And good songs got left on the chopping block. And by they, I meant almost everybody in that day and age. Good songs got left on the cutting room floor because they didn't fit the overall pattern that you were trying to do. you thought in terms of a whole album, and not concept album so much, but thematically, usually complete. There was a theme that ran through, or a musical thread that ran through, or something that ran through the whole album, or something that made it seem like a complete piece of work. And then they went smaller, and they thought in terms of sides, a record side. So side one, side two, side A, side B. And the big hit was usually slapped on side one, song one sort of thing. So when you put the album on, you got the hit right away. That was, especially with hit-based bands, that was a common thing. But they tried to run a thread through. So Led Zeppelin 4 starts with, first there's that little boom, 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 boom on an E. It's probably a guitar run through an echo or something. But there has been speculation through the years about how he got that sound. But it starts with just that, but it's really just kind of a lead in. And then it comes Robert Plant singing. And this is the real beginning of the album. And just Robert Plant. Hey, hey, Mama Said the Way You Move. That starts the album. Boom. Off you go. Through the album, Black Dog, Rock and Roll, Battle of Evermore, or The Hobbit song, and Stairway to Heaven. And the end of Stairway to Heaven is the end of side one, is again just Robert Plant. And she's buying the Stairway to Heaven, just his voice. Starts and ends. There's great crescendo in the middle, but it starts and ends just Robert Plant's voice. Just one of those little things that it creates so much. You probably wouldn't notice in 100 years, and I accidentally kind of noticed one day that it did so. And it's interesting how kind of Black Dog rolls into Rock and Roll, and then Battle of Evermore kind of rolls into Stairway to Heaven. And I've even seen an article on, I think, Type It Loose on the 40th anniversary, did an article suggesting that like Battle of Evermore was like a lead-in, like a pastoral lead-in to Stairway to Heaven. It's here's the war, then here's the peace, and the two songs actually belong together. It's an interesting point, there's so many throughout this album. There's so many of these just little things, and if you think of the great Led Zeppelin songs, Stairway to Heaven and Black Dog and Rock and Roll, but flip the side and When the Levee Breaks is on there, and Going to California, people's favorite. Who's your favorite acoustic song? Across the board, people would say Going to California. Not me, people, but other people. I like That's the Way, personally. But kind of as a general rule, Going to California would be their biggest acoustic song. And how many movies do When the Levee Breaks? And, you talk to people now, it's the song that's really come on strong the last 15 or 20 years. People didn't think much about When the Levee Breaks in the 70s, but through the last, 20 years or so, it's really taken on a life of its own. And yes, there's other great Led Zeppelin songs that aren't on this album. Whole Lot of Love and Kashmir and so on. So it's tons, right? I want to say hundreds, but I don't think they actually did 100 songs. I think it's in the 90s that they actually did. So, tens of other great songs. But so much of the iconic Led Zeppelin material is on this album. And it's almost the perfect rock and roll album. And yet, not my favorite Led Zeppelin album. It's probably not your favorite Led Zeppelin album. But it's the Led Zeppelin album all your friends have, right? Do you know what I mean? I kind of like Led Zeppelin guy has Led Zeppelin 4 at home. He doesn't have Led Zeppelin 3 at home. He might have Led Zeppelin 2, but he's definitely got Led Zeppelin 4. You know what I mean? Whereas... so for me, I really like, I like all their albums at different times, of course, but, 3 might be my favorite, might be Physical Graffiti or Presence. I have a special affection for In Through the Outdoor. But, other people are, no, I love Houses of the Holy, or some people love their first two albums. Mostly older people who are into, and I don't mean that mockingly, but if you were kind of a teenager when the first album came out, if you were into the music at the time, then the first and second album have really or something that speak to you. And I know guys who love those two albums more than anything else and still like all the albums, but and it's because they were 16 or 14 when Led Zeppelin 1 came out. You talk to Dave Lewis, he's got a special affinity for those first two albums and not as much time for the last couple albums. You know, it's a lot of it's an age thing, where you were and when you were. But yeah, Led Zeppelin 4 is I would think their definitive album. If you were, you know, a museum of rock music and you're allowed to put one album in for each band, Led Zeppelin 4 would be the one that would be on the wall for Led Zeppelin, undoubtedly. And you or me may disagree with that because we see beyond those songs. But it's in the greater scheme of things, it's the big album. Anyway, that's just kind of a little, you know, ramble on about the fourth album. I wanted to do some research and do the whole thing, but didn't get there. Hope you enjoyed. Thank you for listening to Ramble On Radio episode 125. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. It helps the algorithms, the iTunes algorithms, find us. And if you drop three or four, five stars, and then a quick note, yeah, I like it. No, I don't like it. Yeah, it's okay. Or you can tell me it's absolute rubbish or an absolute work of genius. It doesn't matter. To be honest with you, I don't see the reviews. It's you only see, if you go on iTunes and look, you only see reviews from your country. And there's a special effort that has to go into finding all the reviews. And I've done it once. You kind of have to change your country, and it's a bit of a pain in the ass. As has been noted, I'm busy enough as it is. That's been in a couple of hours reading all my reviews. Don't worry about, you know, I want to say this, but I might offend him. Don't worry about that, because the likelihood I see it is very small. But review, do review, leave a star or two or three or four. And it helps their algorithm, the iTunes algorithms, find us. The more reviews, the more we show up in their algorithms, the higher the placement when people search for Led Zeppelin or anything like that, or you know, if you go music podcasts, rock and roll podcasts, it shows up higher if there's more reviews. You can download it from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean, and Podbean has their own app, so you can listen to it on the go that way, and you can check it out, Ramble On Radio on YouTube. And I should point out, what are you listening to? Let me know. I'm on Twitter. I'm on, as I mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus. I don't do Google Plus. I'm on email, rambleon@briangardner.ca. You can email me. What are you listening, beyond those that I mentioned, what are you listening to it on? I hear other podcasts that talk about using your favorite podcatcher. I don't know other podcatchers other than the Apple one. Just because that's what I use. So I'd like to know, what are you using? Is there a podcatcher you use that requires special, that would require me to place it somewhere? Because some of these, like Apple's, you have to go to iTunes and set it up so that whenever you upload one, it goes, iTunes takes the feed, the RSS feed actually, and creates it live. And I don't know if other, like if for Samsung or something, there's the same sort of system. So let me know what you're listening to it on, what you listen to your other ones on. You go, well, I have to listen to this on Podbean, but I'd love it if you put it on such and such. Let me know. I will do what I can to make it more wide open. If you do podcasting and you know more about this stuff than me, maybe contact me if you'd like to be helpful. And see what we can do. But anyway, those are the spots you can listen to it. And check us out. Check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube as well. I have some old, and I'm going to do another video in the near future. I actually have enough light in my room now. I've revamped my office, my dungeon studio, and it has a lot more light. So I think I will try and get a good solid video podcast up on YouTube in the next little while. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 125. Keep it coolin', babies.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.